Chapter 10. Ferrus Manus flew at the Lord of the Gardenal with a roar. Strakhan raised a forelimb to shield his visor grill, and Forgebreaker hammered into an energy field. Flares, sparks, and convulsions of light rippled across the Gardenal's upper body, the giant warhammer caught in a mesh of conflicting energies, as though Ferrus wielded the north pole of one powerful magnet to attack the south of another. Liquid metal ran from his forearms as though repelled by the energies unleashed, swelling his biceps as he strove to force his hammer through the Gardenal's face. The energy fields bowed before his strength, shivering off spasms of light and heat, illuminating the grimacing mummy beneath. A hiss of pistons joints, a glint of red light on buzzing metal. Ferrus saw the spinning saw blade as it swung towards his neck, but did not release the pressure on his hammer. His understanding of materials and their properties was preternatural and untaught, his insight second to none. He let his armor take it. The saw shrieked against his pauldron, flaying off sparks, while Ferrus shoved through his hammer with all of his might. It was insufficient to break the energy field, but force was force. The universal laws applied, and the war machine was sent tottering back. Strakhan's three legs quickly rearranged themselves, his torso spinning around gimbal joints between head and neck and hip and groin. Hatches in the Gardenal's harness clattered open and shut, particle beams from concealed gun ports firing in sequence to haze the air with small arms fire that broke against Ferris's armor. The upper half of the Gardenal was still spinning, cycling through his torso arrays as he punched out with the power fist. Ferris batted it aside, smashing the gauntlet to pieces and tearing it from the walker's arm. Strakhan moaned a curse, the damaged section of limb detaching in a gout of steam. It hit the ground with a clang, a replacement armament unlocking and clicking into place on the truncated limb, even as the third arm swung in. Ferrus presented the shaft of his hammer to take it, but then stumbled. The room shifted around him, the light fading, reddening as it bled into the ground. Lava. It flowed in sluggish rivers, bubbles breaking the surface to spew amber fire and sulphurous gases over the shrinking islets of solid rock. Ferrus could feel the heat, the shaking of the volcano beneath him. Glowing pyroclast made patterns in the air, rising up and swirling about in the furnace heat. The worm came at him from nowhere. He struck it aside with the back of his stave, sending a sword-length chip of scale flying. It reverted to liquid and burned off before it struck the lava flows. A howl of inhuman, greater-than-mortal fury shook the Kural, and suddenly the lava sea was all scales, teeth, his iron stave a blur as he countered Azanoth's rampaging fury. The blow swept over his guard and hammered into his breastplate. He blinked, the silver of his vision threaded with a confusion of grey shades as he stumbled back. He shook his head, vision still swimming, and looked down. The Gardenal's blades had savaged the Ceramite. It looked like a mauling, but it was a graze only. He gave vent to a snarl, taking Forgebreaker one-handed, slid his hand to the base of the haft and swung long. He missed. The Gardenal stepped behind his wild lunge and fired a lightning-edged spear point-blank into his gut. No words, no taunts, pure efficiency. The spear tip cracked his armor, the molecular disruption field widening the breach with a crumpling discharge that hurled Ferrus Manus from his feet. He plunged through a glass cabinet, shattering it, metal raining to the ground as suspension fields failed and treasured relics from Medusa and beyond fell out of the air. Rogel Dorn stood over him, the rugged yellow of his gauntlet knuckles speckled with silver red. He glowered down on his brother, his countenance never wavering from one of stern reproach. The warriors of both legions looked on from the many tiers of the Fist of Iron's command deck with expressions of horror and, though they tried to hide it, fascination. Ferrus had not intended to lose his temper, but part of him exulted that Dorn had pushed him that far and that his brother had responded in kind. He spat blood on the baffled flooring of his bridge and clenched his fist. The remembered horror of the 10th and 7th Legions stretched to an inflection point, became a wheeze of aging pistons as Strakhan leant back. Forgebreaker burned along the curve of the Gardenal's chest, and Ferrus rose with it. He squeezed his forehead in his free hand, grunting in disorientation, then kicked the Gardenal in the groin assembly. An explosive counterforce rent the air between his boot and Strachan with energetic streaks of red. Theris backed warily away. Glass splintered underfoot. A sudden pain stabbed into his head, and the chamber swirled, cabinets and murals orbiting him in their destruction, as though he were a supermassive black hole. Mountains rose, mountains fell. The sky wheeled and changed. He was fighting the elemental of Karashi through a maze of ice, facing down the great Yark migration at the ford of Yardan, battling the mechanized hosts of the mad Iron Father Stanislas, who had pursued Ferris mercilessly throughout his childhood, until this day, when he would face the Mystic's armada head-on and shatter it with his bare hands. His hands. He shrugged them off. They were memories only. His memories. His hardest battles. Drawn by instinct, he risked a sideways glance and noticed the Psyker, spread-eagled as though crucified to the far wall where Ferris had seen him last. The old man was not in the fight, not physically at least, but he stared hard at Ferris, eyes dark and bulging from his face. Ferris snarled. He saw what was happening. Fending off Strachan with his hammer at full stretch, he turned himself around the relic construct, enough for a clear run at the Psyker. Strachan grabbed his arm as he made to spin away, hauled him back and struck him across the jaw. Lightning flashed through his skull. The rugged yellow of his gauntlet knuckles spattered with silver red. He roared and flung an elbow for the Gardenal's face. The elbow was as high as the alien substance that had colonized his arms went. An even line, as the Medicae Riordan had rightly observed. There was a sizzle of boiling solder as the living metal met the construct's power fields. Then a brilliant flash as those fields collapsed and Ferris's elbow crushed the Gardenal's grill. Anger growled through Strachan's augmenters. Ferris bellowed like a rising mountain as he tossed his warhammer aside. It landed with a heavy clang.
"And you say you know me?"
The Gardenal looked to put some distance between them, hosing the intervening space with particle beams from his torso mounts. Ferris splayed his bare hands before him like a shield of molten fury, the rest glancing off his armor.
"Do something!" Strachan shouted.
Ferris drew his hands back to form fists, but then staggered, as though he had been shot in the eye. His hands went to his head as the ground fell away from him. Clouds boiled in from nowhere as if he were watching the complete life cycle of a world in an eye blink. The air turned cold, the wind sharp, the ground crumbled, became gravelly and sharp, flat-topped peaks rearing up from a suddenly distant horizon. Ferris swayed, as though the galaxy had caught him unawares with the abrupt termination of its rotation, blinded by a supernova's light. He slumped, breathing in gales, his hand clanging to his thigh. He was clad in tattered chainmail, strung with a harness of saw-edged Medusan steel. Dents and scratches reflected the light in a million impossible ways, burning, stabbing, glorying, pain and beauty alike, and both falling with equal power on eyes that had never experienced sun or stars. Blood streamed down trembling hands and onto his leg as he pushed down and made himself rise. The golden warrior strode forward, his pace measured in destinies. He was the light, a screaming pulsar of blue-white energy that shot into the sky like a spear. He was a beacon around which no clouds could gather, an elegiac that pronounced sovereignty wheresoever it fell. He was the most remarkable being that Ferris Manus had ever seen or found it possible to imagine. And yet it was no angel of peace that walked towards him under the guise of man. His golden armor was fantastically ornamented, but too brilliant to be recalled or described, even by a mind such as Ferris's, as glorious as it had been when the being had first descended from the heavens, despite its punishment at Ferris's hands. The sword he raised to invite Ferris to come again blazed with a fire that did not burn. It reminded Ferris of his hands, only gold where they were silver. Indeed, there was much about this being that was familiar. Like Ferris, he was a conqueror, and a part of him mourned the certainty that never again would he face an opponent as mighty. The being began to speak. but the words that emerged were gibberish sounds. The rattle of caterpillars. The sound molten steel makes as it is poured into a mould. The first time he had heard a bolter fired. Thunder. The war shriek of an Eldar Banshee. A white noise drawn from his memory to fill that which could never be filled. They were the sounds of a time out of place. And with that realization, the illusion fell away like a window without a frame and shattered. No physical memory or psychic charlatanry could mimic the Emperor of Man. Ferus understood now. The Psyker foraged in his mind for memories of his most testing encounters, seeking an advantage to be used in the present, or perhaps simply to break his will with past failures. With a titanic effort of self-discipline, he forced himself into the present. He was a Primarch, the Gorgon of Medusa, foremost of his brothers. The Gardenal claimed they knew him, but no one knew him. No one, not even Fulgrim, would have known the one thing that Ferus had always wished for, the one thing in his pursuit of excellence that he craved. To be beaten. To a god amongst men, triumphs were everyday affairs, but defeats, they were precious. Each carried its own lesson, and the day the Emperor had brought his light to Medusa had been the greatest of his life. He allowed himself to look back into the shattered pieces of the Psyker's illusion. The Emperor stood there before him, sublime, burning sword held out in challenge, and Ferus knew, if they were to fight again, the outcome would be different. He lunged for the simulacra with both hands, blasting it back into his memory and punching through Strakhan's energy field. The Psyker was howling in denial, crimson energies whining and sparking, flickering about Ferris's wrists as though he had plunged his hands into electrified blood. He took hold of Strakhan's rib-like outer frame and roared, his hands flaring to yellow and then white as they responded to his rage. The armor where he gripped blasted to smithereens and knocked the undying construct to the floor. Torn fluidics spurted, pistons wheezed, fields flickered and failed, limbs twitched. The Gardenal gave a great heave of breath, the connections around his eye sockets delivering jolts of panic. Ferus stood over him, volcanic with wrath.
"The Gardenal think they can beat me!"
He raised a boot.
"No one can beat me!"
And stamped down on Strakhan's face grill with all the power of Medusa unleashed. Decker slid down the wall. All he could do to keep the psychic feedback from detonating his brain from within. He groaned, head in his hands. Impossible. Impossible that his attack could be repulsed by a non-psyker. Impossible that the greatest warrior of the Gardenal could be defeated. Impossible. And yet it was happening. Groggily, he opened his eyes, his vision pressed in by black rings and filled with a glowing sleet, a psychic afterglow of sorts. Punishment for getting too close and staring too long into something so bright. He saw the Primarch drag his foot from the ruin of High Lord Strakhan's helm, biomechanic vitae spurting over his boot. The relic suit jerked, then a leg, then one claw of a blade, then nothing at all. The status lights dimmed. An inappropriate smirk grew across the throbbing ache that had become Decker's face. It was not funny. Strakhan was dead. Ven was dead. The consulate was rubble. Everyone he had ever known, worked for, or with, was dead. His descendants were dead, or soon would be. His gene line terminated. He knew it was not funny. And yet he could not help but rejoice at having outlasted them all. And he was not dead yet. Ferris Manners bent to collect his hammer from the wreckage, and Decker sighed to watch the living metal of his hand lap around the grip of the mighty weapon, and to think that he had once thought Moses Trurak a giant. The Primarch began to walk towards him, hammer trailing through broken glass and discarded blades. His eyes blazed like molten silver, his face set into a mask of blood and outrage that pinned Decker in place as potently as a spear through the shoulder. What right had the Gardenal ever had to resist such a being? They had been fools, and fools always deserve to lose.
I should thank you.
His face couldn't support the smile any longer, and it melted from him.
These last few days have been...
The hammer smashed him into the wall before he could finish. When Forgebreaker was drawn out of the panel, nothing remained of Sylvan Decker but a red stain in the crater of something that had once been beautiful. Ferrus Manus took its haft in both hands and strode towards the buckled door. His brothers would see who he truly was, and it was exactly what they had all already known. He was the Gorgon, and the Gorgon knew only one way to make war.